The Lord has been speaking to me this week, and I started remembering some old sayings. You might have heard maybe you say them, but I remember my grandpa saying them. Maybe your father said them. They were sayings that were the conundrum of a professional, right? Things like the cobbler's children have no shoes, right? The cobbler, of course, being the shoemaker. Or how about this one? The chef's breakfast is often a boiled egg. Or the plumber's house leaks while the carpenter's house creaks. These are statements that reveal a conundrum you often find in professionals. And the conundrum is this. While they are doing a very good job taking care of everybody else's house, they sort of let theirs fall into a bit of disrepair. And I don't know what reason that is. I don't know why that is. Clearly, they have the ability to do the work. I mean, they wouldn't be the professionals if they weren't. And maybe it's because they know how, that they never actually take the time. That'll take me 5 minutes. I'll get to that later. That's an easy one. But it never actually gets done. Never becomes a priority. In Luke chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is going to quote one of these phrases. Now, I want you to understand something about it. It's a common parable of the day. It's not a proverb from the book of Proverbs. You won't find it anywhere else in the Bible except in this passage. It was just a common saying of the day. Now, I want to set the stage for you before I read it. And you know what's happened, right? Jesus is coming into his ministry. He's gone to church, synagogue. They've handed him the scroll. He's opened up to Isaiah, and he's read from Isaiah. Today, he says, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What he's done is he's just proclaimed himself as the Messiah everybody was looking for. He has made it clear, I'm the guy. Now, most of the people who would, this is happening in his hometown. So the people who were there in synagogue that day, they would have known him. And certainly they spoke well of him. But you can also understand how it can be just a little bit hard to believe that this Messiah who was to come is a local tradesman. Right? That just seems a little bit maybe far-fetched. And then in verse 23, Jesus says this to them. He says, surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. That's the proverb. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Let's pray. Father, I ask today that you would allow your anointing to flow through me. I pray, Father, that you would help me to share your heart with your people. I pray, Father, that you would this morning give them ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit's saying to the church. Amen. So every year, the first of the year, or the first Sunday of the year, I try to stop and maybe just take a little, I don't know, reflection on where we are, where we're going. Take stock of where the church as a whole is, where we as a people are. And maybe also a little glimpse of where we're going. And so today I want to share with you maybe a prophetic update of what's going on. It may be a little too strong, but if you have ears to hear, I think you will see it. In April of this year, we are going to celebrate our 10th anniversary as a church. Can you believe that? 10 years as a church. We are a very unique body. I hear all the chuckling. Yes, we are a strange and peculiar people. We are a praying church. Prayer is a large part of who we are. It's part of our call, and it's in the DNA of our church. God has called us to hold the gate in this town, and that is what we have strived to do. Those of you who have ever been involved in spiritual warfare, you know that spiritual warfare, anything spiritual, comes at a price. Those who have been fighting, some of you have been fighting for years now. You know how it can wear you down and how it can take a toll on you. And even if you're not aware of that, even if you haven't been fighting like that, if you just look around a little bit, if you just pay a little bit of attention, you can see the battle scars all over the bride. You can see them everywhere. Different churches, different denominations. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church at large. The battle scars are evident. And Christians in general seem to be just a bit on the discouraged side. I think certainly we've all been fighting well enough. But as we fight and the things we fight for, it seems like our country continues to go from bad to worse. And we wonder, are we being effective? Where's God in the middle of all of this? Why hasn't He intervened yet? And what happens in our voice and in our mannerisms and just in our face, the battle weariness shows. But doesn't the Bible warn us specifically against that? I mean, specifically? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That's a qualifier. What I want you to see, friends, is it is this weariness. It is this battle tiredness. This is where the proverb that Jesus spoke that day comes into play. Physician, heal thyself. Well, I don't even know what that means. Well, good, we'll talk about it a little bit. Most simply put, it means this. You possess everything you need, the tools and the knowledge to bring about the healing that you need. Even if it goes beyond you, you know the one who can. I want to let that sink in just a minute. See, in the case of Jesus that day, Jesus was preempting their statement. He said, surely you're going to quote this proverb to me and say, we want to see you do in our town what we know you did in Capernaum. There's a question. I don't know if you will. Let me try to paint a picture for you. Consider a medic who's on a battlefield and he's going from person to person and he's healing people and taking care of them as best he can in the middle of this battle. And then in the middle of that, he gets shot. Now there's decisions that have to be made. And the question really becomes, what will he do? Will he patch his own wound? Will he fix what's broken? Certainly he has the tools. Certainly he has the knowledge. Will he turn his surgical blade on himself, remove the bullet and stitch up the wound and go on? Or will he just ignore it? Largely like the cobbler's kids who don't have any shoes. It's something I mean to get to. I just want to take care of this first and then I'll come back and take care of what I need to take care of. It is this picture that I think prophetically speaks to where we are as a church today. Many spiritual warriors have taken hits. Some are, frankly, quite badly wounded. Many are discouraged. And some are starting to ask if they should, or even if they want to continue in the battle. Maybe it's just time to call this a day. Others find themselves very unsettled. It's because the spirit within them is pointing them to something that lies ahead. This unsettling, not knowing exactly what it is, it becomes a weight, and it's a further weight that they don't need to carry today. This situation that you see in the church, and again, you don't have to look real hard. You can see it if you just open your eyes a little bit. I believe it's very similar to the situation that David found himself as he returned to Ziklag. You'll find the account in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And if you're not familiar with the account, what's happened is David and his men have set up camp at a place called Ziklag. And this is their home base. And they had marched to join with King Achish, and they were going to go to battle. Now, King Achish was of the Philistine side, and the whole thing seems a little odd, but they were going to go fight with him. And so they marched to a place called Aphek. And when they got there, the Philistines were a little bit afraid of David. And they're like, yeah, I'm not sure we want you guys fighting with us, because if we go to battle, you're probably going to turn on us in the middle of the battle. And so, because the people were afraid, Achish sends David home. So they march 3 days. They get turned back, and now they have to march 3 days home. And when they get home, they find that home has been destroyed. I want to pick up in verse 1 of chapter 30. David and his men returned to Ziklag on the third day. And now the Amalekites had razed the Negev and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. And so David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. I want you to know that this is what a failed expectation looks like. I expected this to happen, and guess what didn't happen? It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. It didn't pan out the way I thought. I had went to go to one battle, and I come home and realize I'd missed the battle. And now I'm suffering. Not only had the first battle not gone right, but another had happened and they missed it. This rough passage is kind of what I think we see today. See, David's army had become unsettled. They were unsettled. Some of them were discouraged. In fact, some of them were beyond discouraged. They were tired and they were worn out. And the situation has now escalated to a point where people are starting to say, we just need to take David down. This, he's a terrible leader. But the Bible says this: David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want you to understand something. David, too, could have fallen prey to this frustration, this disappointment. But he doesn't. It's in this moment that David will become the physician who heals himself. He knows what it is he needs to do. He knows God. He knows the surgery that needs to be performed on his own heart. And so he does. Right now, friends, the body of Christ, the church at large, the bride, is in need of this same type of healing. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to cast off the doubts, and we need to cast off the disappointments. Physician, heal yourself. Now, Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, he's going to encourage them to take up the whole armor of God, armor that he's going to liken to the armor that a Roman soldier might wear. And in verse 17, he says this, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, maybe you already know this, but the sword that he's referring to, this Roman sword, it's not a broad sword. It's not a long sword. It's really a short sword. In fact, typically they were somewhere around 26 to 30 inches in length. Not even a yardstick. It's not a big sword. Now, the short sword is effective on the enemy, but is also effective when it's used on yourself. See, sometimes what would happen is you would take an arrow and you needed to remove the arrow. A big broadsword can't do that, but a short sword, it can solve those problems. And this is the picture that Paul is painting when he speaks of the Word of God. It's effective on your enemy, the devil, not the church, not other brothers, Not those people who have wronged you. Your enemy is the devil. It's effective on your enemy, but it's also effective when it's applied to yourself. See, the word of God is a weapon. It's a lethal weapon, but it's also a scalpel. It's a needle and thread. Well, this is what David's done. He encourages himself in the Lord. See, sometimes we have to stop and remember our call. Each of you have a call. You have a call. David remembers his call. He remembers what God has already done in his life and the blessings that God's pouring out and the victories that God has already given him. And in this new strength, he does what true leaders do. He begins to unify the men and he leads. So David's going to call for the ephod and he's going to seek the Lord's direction. And the Lord will tell him to pursue the thieves and that he will overtake them. And that he will succeed in the rescue. Now, at this time, march back from Aphek's place to Ziklag. There were about 600 men with David. And I want you to remember, they've been marching a long time. 3 days up, a slow rest, and 3 days back. There's no doubt they were tired. But their wives and their children had been taken. And so they head out in pursuit. And by the time they reach the Besor Valley, 200 of these men, they're simply too tired to go on. The Bible says they were too exhausted to cross the valley. Now, I just have to be honest with you. I look at that and I think, that's strange to me. That's a little odd to me. See, if my wife or my child or both had been taken, I'm going to pull out all the stops. I'll go until I can't go anymore and I'll fall over and still crawl. Well, something had happened to these 200 men. Something so serious that they couldn't go any further. There was nothing left in them. It wasn't a matter of, well, this will work itself out. They couldn't go on anymore. And I want you to see in this something very important. It's important that you grab this. These 200 that couldn't go on were not disqualified. You need to understand that they were not disqualified. They just weren't going to be able to continue in this specific battle. These 200, they were going to stay right there where they were. The rest of the army is going to shed all of their supplies. They're going to shed all of the stuff that they're carrying, all their packs, all their food. They're going to shed everything. And they're going to leave it with the 200. Now, for the 400 that's left, this is going to lighten their load dramatically. And they're now going to be able to complete the task that's at hand. And again, it's another one of these, I think, important prophetic pictures that I want you to see today. The church as a whole, big C, the body of Christ, has come to a crossroads. One phase of the battle we've been fighting is over. A new phase is going to begin fairly soon. We're in a season of regrouping. For some, it's going to be a time of healing and restoration. For others, it's going to be a time of pruning. At least those who will embrace it. And for those who will embrace this season that we're in, this pruning and this healing, see, some of you have, you've taken pretty serious wounds, and you need to heal from those wounds before you can go on. You've been hurt. Some of you have just become overgrown, and you need to be pruned back because you won't be able to stand as you go forward in what's coming. If you'll embrace what God's doing in this hour, you will be ready like the 400 to go all the way. And if you don't, you won't be disqualified. But you won't go on to the battle that lies ahead. Question is, well, I guess the first question is, do I want to go on? And if you do, how do you make sure that you're part of the 400? How do you make sure that you're part of the group that goes on to the next phase? thing is, you're going to have to take stock of what's going on in your life, your own situation. You don't need to look at anybody else's situation. That's irrelevant for you today. You need to look at yours. Some of you have taken some fairly serious arrows from the enemy. And if that's the case, now's the time to remove them and stitch up the wound. Here's the thing. You have the tools and you have the knowledge to stitch up the wound. You have the Word of God. And you know what it says about these things. So, physician, heal yourself. See, some of you today, all you really need to do is simply apply the Word of God to your life. That short sword to your flesh and let it do its work. Something kept these 200 from going on, and here's the deal. It doesn't matter what it was. Well, maybe it was this. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What matters is your life. You find yourself in the same position today. What matters is, what are you going to do? What is going to keep you from joining the next phase of the battle? You know, here's the thing, guys. It's always the foolish things that weigh us down. It's always the silly things. It's the silly things that ultimately wear us out. And this is where we apply the Word of God. See, for some people, it's just a pet sin that's in their life. It's something God's been dealing with them for years, but they just won't let it go. For other people, it's relationships that frankly need to be cut loose, but you won't. For others, it's relationships you need to restore, and you won't. Sometimes it's as simple as a forgiveness that you are unwilling to offer, something you just won't let go of, that needs to be let go of. Maybe it's an obedience that He's called you to complete, and you won't do it. It's silly things, it's little things that weigh us down and hold us back. Friends, whatever it is, whatever that thing is, you need to get the surgery done. What I'm trying to tell you is the next wave of battle that's coming, it's going to require more strength than you have. Not that you have now, it will require more strength than you have at all. That means that you are going to have to rely on His strength. You're going to have to embrace His strength to walk through it. It's going to be a heavier road, and yet it's going to result in a much greater victory than you've ever seen before. God is about to do some amazing things. But you're going to need His strength for the battle that lies ahead. Without it, you're going to find yourself like the 200 that are just simply too exhausted to go on. And you just won't be able to enter that arena. And I hope you can see in this. I hope you see the picture of the cobbler and his unshod children. Cobbler knows his kids need shoes. The church knows she needs to repent. The church knows she needs to go through the heart surgery that only Holy Spirit can do. We always mean to get around to it, but we just, for whatever reason, haven't. That day in the valley of Besor, before they headed in, some of the soldiers were shedding weight. And other soldiers were taking the weight and setting up camp with it. Right? All the packs that were coming off, all the tents, all that stuff, they were making their camp with it. The question is, what's your intention? If there's dead weight in your life, I've never understood why people just won't forgive. It's not that hard. It's not an emotion. He forgave you. He forgave you. You should be able to offer forgiveness too. Figure out what it is that is the weight you're carrying, the weight that's going to hold you back, and cut it loose. This morning I say, physician, heal myself to myself. See, I'm the same way. I'm no different. That's what makes this parable so wonderful. It's interesting to me. I've needed new glasses now for at least 6 months. At least. It's gotten so bad that out of my right eye, it's just fuzz. Well, there's people that have glasses. And there's people that can fix all this. And I keep meaning to get it done. I just get busy. And it's, you know what, it's not that. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow doesn't seem to ever come. And now I'm just suffering, wondering why I've been delaying. And what will happen is I'll go get the glass and I'll go, why did this take so long? What was the problem? Why? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Why? Why are you going to let it take that long? You know, when your car needs tires, you just go get tires. It's not that complicated. And if you don't, you're going to be walking. When you need glasses, go get glasses. If you don't, you can't see. If your body needs a surgery, well, that's never fun, but you schedule it and you go get it done. Should be no different with your spirit man. When he needs a surgery, when that needs something needs to be fixed in your heart, you need to get that done too. This, friends, is the hour to get it done. I don't know if you ever watch people. I watch people a lot. They know they need a surgery. It's not going to be a fun surgery. And they finally get around to getting it scheduled, but then something comes up. Well, you know, they're going to have a parade over in Yuma next month. I need to reschedule this surgery to a more opportune time. I don't want to miss the... You're not going to the parade, but you reschedule it because you don't want it now. Cancel it for a later time. What I'm trying to tell you, today's the day to get the heart surgery done. Today's the day. There's a window of opportunity where you'll have time to recover, where you'll have time to let the wounds heal. Pruning hurts. Man, I remember the first time I saw a rose bush pruned. It's like, dude, there's nothing left. It's just some sticks out of the ground and sadness everywhere. But you know what, that pruning created a beautiful bush in a very short time. See, friends, some of the wounds in your life, you know exactly what it's going to take. You just need to apply the short sword. You just need to apply the Word of God to your life, pull out the arrow, stitch it up, and God will heal you. Some of you, the wounds go much deeper. There's a brokenness that's deep inside of you, and you're not going to fix that yourself. You're going to have to come to the great physician and let him heal you. Well, that's okay too. Get the surgery scheduled. Get it on the books. If you don't, again, you're not going to get disqualified. But what I am telling you is you probably won't be able to enter the next battle. You'll be one of the 200 instead of one of the 400. You won't have the strength that's going to be required in the next battle. Now, I need to make something very clear. See, what happens is there's a zeal, and I want to go on. But we also have to recognize there are those who have fought long and hard in the battle, and there is nothing left. They simply can't go on. There's no strength left in them to go on. I want you to know that those who can't go on, they're not disqualified. They're not disqualified. If it's you today and you go, look, I just cannot carry another. I can't go another one. I am so jazzed to stay back with the stuff, I can't begin to tell you how nice that will be. You're not disqualified. There's no shame in being one of the ones who remains with the supplies because you're still part of the army. You're still part of the body. Well, so why do we want to be one of the 400? Because, friends, there is a great joy when you enter into God's army and you see His victory at His hand. There's a joy I can't express to you. You just have to experience it. And it's this crossroads now that the church finds herself at. And you have to answer, where am I going to land? Am I going to land on the side of the 400 or the 200? And this, friends, this is why there's so much unsettling in people. They recognize that something is shifting, something's changing. They recognize that some of you have already entered the hour of pruning. Some of you already are there. Some of you will enter it soon enough. And I just want you to know, it's okay. It's supposed to come. So here's the word. Physician, heal thyself. That's the word. When things start to go a little sideways, apply the word of God in your life. Let it be the scalpel that will come and open the flesh so the arrow can come out and then stitch up that place. You may need to apply that short sword to your enemy, right? Sometimes that's all he does is just needle you all day long until you think something's wrong, and nothing's wrong at all. Other times it's a surgery we need. Let me close today with chapter 30. I want to read verse 21 through 25. David has now gone on. He's taken the 400 and they have decimated the enemy. Verse 21, and David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and were left behind at the Besor Valley. And they came out to meet David and the men with him. As men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. Okay, can I say something to you? That's the older brother. You remember the prodigal son? That's the older brother poking his ugly head up. Don't be that person. Don't be the older brother. Don't be the person that says, well, I'm better because I got to go and you didn't. Listen to David. David replies, no, my brothers, you must not do that with that which the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered us delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to battle. All will share alike. And David made this a statute and an ordinance for Israel from that day to this. I want you to understand, nobody's disqualified. We are all part of the body. And we all work together as part of the body. So here we are, we're at the crossroads. Some will apply the word to their lives. They'll offer the forgiveness. They'll break off the relationships that need to be broken off, and they will restore the ones that need to be restored. They'll embrace the younger brother as he comes home. They'll do the things that they're called to do. They'll let go of the sin that's in their life, and the obedience that God has called them to, they will bring to fruit. The choice is yours. Both groups are going to receive the same reward. In fact, if you were to read on to verse 27, what you'll see is people who didn't even enter the battle, didn't even show up to the, weren't even there. Well, they got some of the reward too. Well, you're going to see that as well. But today, the army, that's us, there needs to be a choice. And if you want to taste the glory, then I encourage you. Physician, embrace the pruning. Embrace what needs to happen in your life. Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. Physician, heal thyself. Father, help us to embrace your word. Father, help us to see your word and to take it in and understand it. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be a people who are quick to forgive. You'd help us to be a people who hate sin. I pray, Father, you would help us to be a people who reflect the Christ, the risen Christ that lives within us. And Father, I pray for those today who are worn down and tired. Father, I pray for those today who just can't go on any further. I pray, Father, that as they rest in you, you will restore their strength. Father, I pray that you will lighten the load for them and you will brighten the path that lies ahead. Father, I bless these people in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply the word to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.